Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. This morning, I want to fill in sort of this idea of how that neighbor can work itself out in your life when it comes to living out your faith in a way that's somewhat normal and maybe not necessarily on a bouncy ball doing weights and so on and so forth, but in just a way that's natural to you. When I think about life, when I think about who we are, I can understand how difficult it can be sometimes to try to sort through these things and to imagine what it would be like to live faith this way. This series, That Neighbor, has been built around the concept and this idea of how to be that neighbor that people are drawn to. How to be that neighbor that people want to be around. Be that neighbor that invests. Be that neighbor that cares. Be that neighbor that shows love. Be that neighbor that doesn't push people away. And so we've talked about this idea and this concept of how we are to begin to journey into the concept and the framework of mind where we say, okay, I need to live this way. First of all, understanding I must love God and love others. That's what Jesus talks about, building a foundation of that neighbor. And then we talked about last week this idea of slowing down and learning from the life of Jesus. To slow down and lean into Jesus so that we have a depth of understanding of how he desires to live our faith out in the circles of influence that we have. Today, I want to lean into this idea of how to be you. How to simply be you when it comes to faith, when it comes to living out the aspects of faith in everyday living. See, there's this thought that comes to my mind when I think about being you, and it's kind of this idea and this concept that I believe is important, and there's a real movement around this idea of being you in our culture and our society. You can search this on hashtags on Instagram, and you can actually come up with about 14 million hashtags around be yourself and be you. Now, I caution you to actually search it because there are some things on there that are completely inappropriate because they're just being you. But when we begin to examine this, we begin to talk about this and lean into this idea of being you, we realize that to grab a hold of this thought and this idea can be very freeing. It really can. Because when you begin to discover who you are and how you're wired up and how God seems to want to use you in those realms of influence, you begin to realize, I don't have to live my life with a mask on. I don't have to live my life trying to be something I'm not. The image that comes to my mind when I think about this is that oftentimes many of us go through life like that little toy that your kids had. You know, that little red ball that you pull apart and the shapes fall out of it. And then you give it to your child and then they take the shapes and they got to try fitting it in. Remember that? Please, anybody? Okay, thank you. It's like it's Father's Day and it's hot and we're like, oh, straight overhead. Now, remember that? I mean, you give it to your kid and they're just lying there. They can't do much. And then they take the toy and they're trying to slam it in the shape that doesn't fit. And it's supposed to be for motor skills and teaching them things, but it's frustrating and they can't do it. And finally they get to fit the shapes in and it works and they pull it apart. See, some of us have gone through life, much of life, trying to fit into something that we're not. But when we begin to discover more of who we are, it's freeing. You ever see someone who's trying too hard? You ever see someone and you look at them and you kind of go, not that you're judging them, but you kind of go, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to fit. Sometimes when I'm out with my wife and I'll be like, hey, I need to get, some new clothes. And she'll be like, okay. And so we go out shopping on a Friday on my day off and we'll be kind of roaming around the mall. And I'll be like, hey, what about these pants? What about this shirt? And she'll be like, Ron, remember, you're almost 50. You look like you're trying too hard. And so we have these conversations like, no, these are cool. No, don't do it, Ron. You look like you're trying too hard. See, we get into this mode in life where we're trying to be something we're not and we're so restricted, we're not free. When we begin to lean into this, we begin to discover there's such freedom. Now, I say to you this morning, I generally agree with sort of the hashtag be you thing. But here's the thing. I struggle a little bit with it because I just need to identify this for you because I don't want us to misunderstand where I'm going this morning. I agree to a point. If you're a gossiper, I don't want you to be you. Seriously. If you can't keep a secret, I don't want you to be you. If you, you know, like compulsively lie, I don't want you to be you. If you're like a murderer, I don't want you to be you, you know? I don't want to be around you. See, I think sometimes this movement of being you can be really confused, and we can use it sometimes for an excuse for our behavior. And so I want to be super cautious as I kind of push in and lean into this idea of being you, that there's an element of this that we have to be super careful. Because we can go, it's just me. It's like the Popeye syndrome, right? I am what I am. I can't do the accent, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, I think that that's what is so beautiful about the Christian faith. I think this is what is so powerful about the Christian faith, is that the Christian faith is designed in a way to help us understand that Jesus wants to transform us into the image of who he is and the characteristics and qualities of who he is, and that we live out of that so we can be us. You know, so oftentimes we kind of misunderstand the Christian faith and the message of the good news of Jesus. And so oftentimes we think it's about being weird and different and odd. And really what it is it's about this beautiful thing that happens inside of a person when they embrace Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to transform us into the image of Jesus so that we can begin to live in a way that designs who we are. See, you were designed to in the image of God. That you have the imprint of God on your soul. And when Jesus comes into the play, it begins to transform us and we become a beautiful masterpiece. We become a poem of God. That this is the beauty and the wonder of what he is trying to do through you. Now, I'm not talking right now about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. I'm not talking about that this morning. We're going to talk about that at some other time. But I'm talking about just the natural place of who you are, how you're wired up, and how God, through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, wants to use you to advance his mission in this world. Now, right away, I say that, and some of you are right in this space because you're followers of Jesus, and you're going, oh, great, another talk about me sharing my faith. I'm not interested. Because some of us have heard this talk so many times that God wants to use you. He wants to use who you are to share the faith and share Jesus. And you're checking out because you know what? You've tried that and it didn't work. And right now you're going, I don't know, Ron. I just don't buy this. And so you live in fear. So you don't even step forward with your faith. And there's people in your life and your circle of influence and your work and your neighborhood. They may not even know you're a Christian. Because you have this thought in your head. I'm going to give some personal examples through the course of this conversation. I remember Bible college. I remember freshman year, they brought this evangelist in. If you don't know what evangelist is, they have this incredible ability to communicate the good news of Jesus in a way that people are drawn to and they respond. They brought this evangelist in. And I'm sitting there, I'm like 18, 19 years old. And he started talking about the upper pocket of a shirt and what it's for. And I'm like, and he's like, you got to put those pamphlets in there so you can just give them to people. You know, and I thought that was for cigarettes. I didn't realize it was for these strange little pamphlets. And I remember thinking, what? I'm not doing that, right? So here's my prayer for some of you. Prayer this morning is that some of you will have that weight lifted off of you because you'll begin to realize this morning that there's a natural way in which God wants to use you. Now, there are some of us here this morning that hear me talking like this and you're like, this is the thing that's my stumbling block to giving my life to Jesus. Some of you here today, I can just feel it inside of you right now that you're thinking, this is the thing that gets in the way. Because listen, I don't want to become that person that you're thinking about, you know, that radical follower of Jesus that you just think is strange. And you're like, I can't give my life to Jesus because I can't be that. And so my hope and my prayer this morning is that this will clear the way for you. And maybe by the end of the conversation, you'll be able to step in and go, ah, this is such a great way of looking at this because I don't have to become that. So this morning, I believe that we're going to lean into this moment and find some freedom. I want to take you to a story in the life of Jesus and his interaction with this guy. And it's funny, you know, this series, as it's been unfolding, we've been finding ourselves in the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke, it was never intended to be that. It just kind of is happening that way in this series. And I want to take you to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5, where Jesus has this interaction with this guy. And what I want to do is I want to use it. You can take that off the screen for a minute. You can just, you're way ahead of me. You're stealing the punchline up there. And I want us to look at this story in a way to help us understand that God wants to use us just the way we are. Now we can look it out on the screen behind me. All right, let's go. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. It says, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. All right. In order to understand the depth of these moments in these stories, you have to respect the context. You have to respect the environment in which it was written, okay? So to respect it, we draw truth from it. So Jesus in this moment is doing something that is most profound. He invites Levi, otherwise known as Matthew. So if I use Levi and Matthew, the same dude. Levi, he says to Levi, come follow me and be my disciple. Now, this is a key moment in the life of Jesus and in the life of Matthew. Because Matthew was of Jewish descent and he was working for the Roman, he was working for the Roman Empire. And what you have here is the tension between two worlds, and Matthew was this person that people despised, people didn't like, people didn't want to be around. He was in that category. He was on the fringe. And Jesus comes to this moment and he says, hey, Levi, come follow me, but not only follow me, I want you on my inner circle. I want you to be a disciple of mine. Rabbis were known for doing this. They would actually go around and they would invite people because over time what would happen is they would develop a bit of a following, and those who were disciples would begin to take on the characteristics of that particular rabbi. And so Jesus says to him, come follow me. Now we could probably spend all day talking about the truth of this moment and what Jesus was doing, because Jesus was crossing barriers. He was tearing down walls in this moment. He was going to a person that was disqualified in many people's eyes. And he says, I want you to come follow. I actually want you to be one of my disciples. I want you in my inner circle. I mean, this is a powerful moment for us to understand what Jesus is doing, because we have a perception of Jesus that often is, as well, it's about categories and, the fringe people, those who are not in. But Jesus is going like, no, we're going to break those walls down. We're going to not be worried about categorizing people. We're going to go to those who are disqualified. Jesus did this all the time. He did this with children. And in the ancient context, he did this with women, reestablishing the value and the importance. He did this with people who are broken and needed healing. And Jesus actually addresses this when he says to when he responds. It's interesting. The religious leaders are talking to the disciples, but Jesus responds. And he says, listen, I didn't come for those who think they got it all together. I came for those who are broken and recognize that there is something missing inside of them. I have come for those who want to be healed. Those who are not relying upon their religious pedigree. This is what Jesus is doing. Now, can you imagine what it was like for Matthew? Oh, he's just, all he's experienced is rejection and those looks and those stares. And just, you know, and then Jesus says, come follow me. Now, what's so beautiful about this moment, and you can learn a lot from being that neighbor from Jesus in this moment, but I'll leave that for you to wrestle with and talk about later on in your own day. But one of the things that is so beautiful about this moment that emerges is what Matthew actually does. See what he did? Look at verse 29. It says, later, Levi held a banquet in his home, with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. In another gospel, it actually says the other guests was actually referred to, disreputable sinners. I love that line. Use that today. No, don't use it today, actually. Matthew hosts a party. When you hear about banquets and parties in the scriptures, what you're hearing and seeing is there's a celebration of joy for something has happened that you want other people to experience. You want other people to be part of. We don't know much about Matthew at this moment, but we have to be super careful of digging too deep into this, but I wonder if Matthew was doing something that he has done in the past, but it was just an ordinary response to host a party, a banquet. Maybe he was a foodie, who knows? And he wanted others to be around. I love this moment because what happens for Levi or Matthew is that he found something in someone and he wanted those in his life to be exposed to it as well. He found something in someone. Something happened inside of him when Jesus said, come follow me. Something was taking shape inside of him. Something happened with someone and I gotta share it. Now, you might go, well, that's just not me. You know, I'm not telling anybody about Jesus, you know. But we do some of these things automatically with other areas of our life. Have you ever gone to a movie and it's like just rocked your world? And you get out of the theater and instantly you're tweeting. You're taking selfies in front of the banner, right? Because you want other people to know about the movie, right? Ever have a good song kind of grab you? And you listen to the song over and over and over. And every environment you're in, you're like telling people about it. You got to hear this song. You know, I have this song called Reckless Love right now that's wrecking me. And I did a Monday musing on it. And I mean, maybe you do videos on your, hey, this song impacted me. Ever been to a restaurant that the food was so good, you're taking snapshots of the meal and Instagramming it? Because you're just sharing it, right? You got to come to this restaurant. It's so good, right? Something's happened that you want everybody else to know. Matthew does something so ordinary, so typical to who he is. He hosts a party, but notice who he had there, okay? Notice who he had there. He had Jesus, which is great. He had the disciples, they were there as well. But he also had his tax collector buddies and some of the people from the community that other people looked at as disreputable sinners. I think so often we become so inward focused, especially as church people, where we neglect to realize that in the simplicity of the everyday, ordinary things, we can include those in our life that are maybe not yet been exposed to Jesus. I want you to think about the last dinner party you had. What was the last celebration you had? Birthday party, anniversary, what was it? Who was around the table? Who came over for the campfire? Think through the names, people. Think what happens over time for some followers of Jesus, some, not all, is that we just become so isolated and we just focus so much inward. Now, listen to me. There's a space for that. I mean, you could build a really great case for that from the scriptures. And that is very, very important because that's a lot of where faith development, root systems grow and so on and so forth. That's a key piece. But what I love about this is that he just takes this simple, ordinary thing and he invites those because he has spent so much time with these other people that he feels, I've got to share this with them too. and I'm going to have Jesus there. I'm going to just open up my life to you for a minute. There's something very interesting that happens when it comes to these conversations. We begin looking at people who live this way, and we think, man, I can't be that. Sometimes this happens to me. I'll be at a conference or listening to a podcast or so on and so forth, and there's like this big name pastor person, and they'll share a story about an airplane ride. And they, you know, it's just this everyday, ordinary thing that happens, right? We go on planes all the time. But then this pastor will begin to share. And this, I was at a conference this past few days, and this didn't happen there, just so we're all clear. And in case you're watching from the conference on Facebook Live, it didn't happen at this conference. But the guy will get up or the woman will get up and they'll say, you know what? I was in conversations with my seatmate and we were like 3 hours talking about Jesus. And before you know, before we landed, they gave their life to Jesus. And they say it like we're all supposed to be doing this. I start feeling terrible because all I can think about what movie I'm going to watch, right? Like, seriously. And then when I get on the plane, there's not a movie. I'm like, oh, shoot, now I'm going to have to talk to them, you know? I know you find that hard to believe. It's true. I'm like, I'll put my headphones on. I'm just going to stare forward. Don't ask me about Jesus. Of course, I would talk about Jesus if they wanted to, but because here's the thing that I realize. I'm not good at debating Jesus. I'm not good at being the answer guy. I'm really not. My brain doesn't work that fast. But what I realize about who I am is that I actually live my faith out more so through my interests and my passions. I love sports. I love soccer. I play soccer at a club here in the city, and the guys know I'm a person of faith. I don't slam it down their throats. Matter of fact, at times I probably wonder if they think I am a Christian. I didn't get the red card. That's all I'll say. The Portuguese club, the guy wanted to fight, and I'm like, I'm not interested. And he says, I'm going to punch your teeth in. I'm like, well, I'm not interested. And he said, go play badminton. I'm like, what's he got against badminton? Funny enough, I'm totally messing. Did you almost shut my mic off there? No, okay. Our keeper, our goalie, Tim, actually is part of our church. And after the game, he came up to me and put his arm around me after this whole incident happened. He said, Ron, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. That's a bit of an inside thing that happened in our mental health series a few weeks ago, where it was this idea of girding up the loins of your mind. I walked away from Tim, said, mind your own business. But no, I didn't do that. He said it so graciously. I don't even know if he's here this morning. Where was I going? That's what I want to know. So there's this element of living out sort of naturally. I discovered this very early on in my own personal journey of faith that God wanted to use me in sort of who I was and my passions and my interests. In Bible college, our freshman year, this is actually part of the notes. This is where I was supposed to go. They would put us on buses and they would take us out to backwoods of New Brunswick and we would have to go door to door knocking on the doors. And it's like knock, 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 door would open. Can I tell you about Jesus? I was terrified. It marked me for life. I still have a bit of a twitch from it. It was like, I can't do this. See, here's the thing. I firmly believe that God wants to use you for who you are. Your passions, your interests can be used by God in a powerful way, in an ordinary way, to bring about change in the lives of others. That you don't have to be weird and wonky and strange. That you can just be you. And then living that out in a way that's relevant to faith, relevant to advancing God's kingdom. Living it out in a way that raises the awareness of who Jesus is. See, I think some of us today just need to start praying. God, reveal to me who I am. Maybe it's just a simple step. Start praying. God, show me who I am. Maybe it's as simple as starting to list down the things that you're passionate and interested in. And you go, I'm going to see if God can use me in these spaces of my life. Are you like an artist? Can you paint? Can you use that in advancing God's kingdom and living in a way that's missional towards other people? Do you like poetry? Do you like dance? Do you like music? Do you quilt? No offense. Realize I shouldn't have done that. What do other people say about you? Does someone come to you and say, hey, you'd be a great coach of Little League? Does someone come to you and say, you know what? You're fantastic one-on-one with people. You're really great with 15 or 20 people. You're actually really fantastic. See, one of the beauties of this is that we can go, okay, I can look at my life and I can pray. I can actually look at my interests and my passions and I can actually begin to listen to the voice of others and how they live. I was thinking about my dad this morning. He's been gone since 1981. I was 11 when he passed away. I don't know a lot about my dad, but I do know enough about him that this is how he lived his faith. Even in a time and an era in the church world where there was categories and there was, you know, segmenting and walls and so on and so forth. And I can recall it was back in the day when a lot of maybe Christians didn't drink much or drink at all. And I remember our neighbors that made wine and they would give us wine. And my dad, so gracious. I remember as a little boy, he was so graciously accepted and he would live out his faith in such real ways that people were drawn to. I hear the stories from family members and I think that's what I want to be. I want my dad, who's been gone for years, to influence how I live my faith because I believe that every bit of my being that God wants to use me just as I am, and who I am. He wants to use you the same way. The exact same thing. There's a verse. Let me say this before I realize I was supposed to say this. There is someone in your life right now that needs you to be you because they need to see Jesus right now. There is someone in your life right now that needs you to be you so that they may see Jesus. And if you are holding that back, then it's possible that maybe you're robbing them of the opportunity to see him in your life. There's a verse that has been messing with me a little bit these past few months. I'm not sure if I've shared it on Sunday mornings or not, because sometimes it comes to my mind and it's not in the writings. Titus chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10, it's talking about slaves, and keep in mind the context of which it's being written. It says, slaves must obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teachings about God, our Savior, attractive in every way. That word attractive has been stirring in me. It's been messing with me. Because I believe it's one of those words where we begin to understand that when our faith is genuine and when we take steps of obedience to the things that Jesus teaches, we become attractive. Not something weird, not something odd, not something strange, but attractive. That we actually live in a way that puts on who Jesus is and that others benefit from being attracted to who he is through the way I live. There is power when we have a genuine faith that takes steps of obedience to Jesus and we become attractive to others. I think that that's exactly what Matthew was doing in this moment in Luke, was that he was doing something that was very natural to who he was because he had been impacted by Jesus and he wanted to take those steps to be attractive to others. We don't know what happened in that environment, who might have responded, who might not have, but what's so beautiful is he did something so ordinary and God used it with great power. So I ask you this morning, are you, as we close, are you living in fear of sharing your faith because you think you have to be something that you're not? May you be free from that. May you be free. Are you not stepping forward by faith, responding to Jesus because you're afraid that you've got to become something that you're not on the other side of that decision? May you be free from that. As I thought about, as I think about Matthew, and as I think about how he lived his life, the one thing that struck me so profoundly this week, and I believe this, and we don't see this in this, but I believe this, and I believe it's of God, that Matthew was developing a love that was so deep for his fellow tax collectors and those disreputable crowd that he couldn't help himself but have the party. See, I think his love was growing so deep, it was transforming every ounce of who he was. See, I wonder if that's the piece that we have missing, is love. We live in a time and an era where love is tough. It is so hard to develop it. We've got this, we've got that, we got this pressure, that pressure. We've got so many things bombarding us from every direction. And all Jesus says is, I just want you to love people. That's all I'm asking. I just want you to love. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians. He said, you know what? You can have all the language down. You can speak all the languages of the earth. You can speak the language of heaven and have no love. It counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. And all he says is, I want your love for others to grow so deeply that you can't help yourself but be who you are, to impact other people's lives for his glory and his kingdom. We're going to close with this song that Lauren's going to sing. It's called More Like Love. And this song actually has had transforming work in my life about a year and a half ago when a friend gave it to me. See, I sometimes have unhealthy motives for being a pastor. I sometimes allow myself to be distracted by developing a platform with social media. I sometimes want people to notice me, right? There's a lot of downsides for pastors when it comes, for people in general, but pastors as well, when it comes to social media. It's like how many likes and how many people are viewing, and will people recognize and include, and sometimes my motives are impure. I'm just putting it out there for you. And then my friend Mike gave me this song, More Like Love, and it's like, I have been doing this wrong. Because all I want for my life is to be more like love. Because I believe that if our lives are couched with love, we won't be able to help ourselves but to live out our faith in a way that changes other people's lives. As we close this service with this song, I only ask that you examine your life and ask yourself, am I being true to who I am? And is love growing in me? Am I more like love? Listen to this song. Let's stand together. As Lauren was singing, I kind of had this image of how Jesus loves us. And you know, maybe this morning you have felt the invitation to respond to the love of Jesus. Kind of like Matthew. You've been going through life and you've been just doing your thing and you've been trying to navigate on your own and trying to discern what is this and what is that about your life. And this morning, all he's saying to you is, hey, would you come follow me? Would you be one of my disciples? I want to encourage you, if that's you, it's a simple prayer. Nothing magical, just a simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life today. I give you my life. For those of you who are wrestling with this topic of how to live your faith, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you this week to be courageous. I'm going to challenge you to be courageous. And the simple challenge is this, is wake up every day praying, God, use me today for who I am. Allow him to open the doors and then step into those moments. If it's in a gym on an exercise ball, have at it. You've got the example right here. But allow him to use you. Allow him to open the doors for you. We as a church are, I've been just at a church conference for 3 days, and that's why I'm a bit fired up. So it always happens after conference. And we have a great future as a church. There are things that God is using us to do and be that I think is going to blow many of our minds. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if we do not have love. As we move into Exeter next year, as we look at other opportunities, I just believe that what we need to come back to is this beautiful truth that Jesus calls us to love and to be love. May we be people of love. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the challenge that you've given each of us. God, I know that by your Holy Spirit, you can take these truths and you can shape them and mold them directly for who we are and where we're at in our journey of faith. May these truths move us closer to better understanding who you've called us to be as individuals, but who you've called us to be as a church. So God, we give this to you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this morning. We'll see you next week.